Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, Paul talks about spiritual blessings in Christ. And so we're going to read the whole passage, and then we'll just focus on, so you can kind of take like an overview of, like a, you're in an airplane, you take a flyover of over New York City, and then we'll, once we land, then we'll go visit the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty and look at all these, you know, different things in more detail. And so now remember, last week we ended with Paul's greeting there, grace and peace to you, God's grace and charity and God's peace, wishing that upon people. And right now, you know, we have to remind ourselves that in a culture that celebrates violence, at least from the left side of the spectrum, a culture that celebrates violence and riots, we are still called to be people of grace and peace. Okay? And that's going to take a certain amount of turning the other cheek. Yes, we need to protect our loved ones, but there's going to be a certain amount of turning the other cheek. And so we really need to pray. What does it mean to be a godly Christian and live a godly Christian life in a culture that now hates Jesus? But when we walk up to people, they think, man, there's a man of grace and peace. Well, if we are people of grace and peace and they think that we're jerks, well, that's their fault. But if we are jerks, that's our fault. Okay? And so don't offend people because of who you are. The gospel is already offensive to most non-believers. Unless God's already working away at their hearts, chipping away at hardened hearts, the gospel is offensive enough on its own. God doesn't need your help in offending people. Okay? And so somebody doesn't come to Christ, let's have them not come to Christ because they don't love Jesus, not because Phil Fernandez is a pain in the neck. But spiritual blessings in Christ, verses 3 to 14. This is all one sentence in the Greek. So, you know, if we really broke this down, you know, the first thing you have to do is diagram the sentence. And believe me, you don't even want to go there, okay? And but Paul's like, Paul could just greet you. And, okay, you could write 20 volumes on theology, just on the one greeting, okay? And but it's the Word of God, and we're going to look at it, and it's got some real important stuff for us. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Okay, so he's going to be talking about spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not earthly places, but heavenly places. So, let me tell you, this is a time for American Christians. Please focus on your spiritual blessings, because our earthly blessings, we're running out of them. Okay? I mean, it's like in the book of Hebrews, nobody was shedding their blood, but they were losing their jobs and their property. So those days are coming. So yes, thank you. You know, I will always thank the Lord when I have food. Okay? Sometimes I thank Him for the food that I, you know, maybe I go through McDonald's drive-thru and I'm thanking Him for the food. And sometimes He's probably responding, hey, look, that's not from me. I made the cow, I made the meat. I didn't do what McDonald's did to that stuff. So just eat that at your own risk. But I will thank God for the blessings we have, for the food we have, the shelter we have, the jobs that we have. So many earthly blessings in America. Day's going to come when all you're going to have are your spiritual blessings. So we need to focus on those. Now I'm going to read through these spiritual blessings. And in verse 4, there's spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that all Christians have. And we have them in ourselves? No, we have them in Christ. Remember that chart that I gave you. If we're in Christ, we have these spiritual blessings. If you're outside of Christ, you don't. Okay? So here's some of the spiritual blessings. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Okay, and we'll look at that, before Him in love. We'll look at that, but the first blessing there you see in your notes is election. Now, we're going to probably spend time on the first two or three verses today, so we'll get in more depth, and you'll get the notes on that next week or the week after Tom Hoyle speaks here. But notice that the first spiritual blessing is election. And you might not think, wow, election, man, wow, that sounds great. It's like, well, big deal, election. Look, let me tell you, I grew up in New Jersey, a lot of cities in New Jersey, a lot of tall guys are good basketball players. I didn't necessarily like basketball, but if my friends were playing basketball, I'd play. And I'm telling you, there are some short guys who could play basketball. I'm not one of them. Okay? And so let me tell you, it's just nice to be chosen. When they're picking sides, and they're picking all these tall, athletic guys, and they get down to this, and I wasn't even a short, stocky guy. I was like, you know, 130 pounds soaking wet when I graduated high school. So I was just happy to be chosen. I mean, I wasn't even one of those guys that, why do they always pick me last? It's like, hey, when it's basketball, I'm just glad I'm picked, okay? And, you know, things are going bad in America. The more vocal you are about your faith in Christ, the more people are going to treat you bad, talk trash about you, and call you all kinds of names. You know what, though? That's all right, because I'm chosen. Okay? And I wasn't just chosen to play on some basketball team where by them choosing me, they're probably going to lose. I'm chosen by the winning team. I'm chosen by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you're a true believer, you're chosen. You realize, you know, we Christians, true Christians understand, we get this down, okay? Not every professing Christian is a true Christian. We understand, okay, before I got saved, I didn't deserve to go to heaven. We understand that, okay? What we usually don't understand is that you realize after you got saved, after you trusted Jesus for salvation, you still don't deserve to go to heaven. You know, you're not just saved by grace. God's going to bring you home by grace. Okay? There's only one guy who walked this planet that pleased the Father. And when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. That was Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I got baptized, okay, I think I got a little water in my mouth or my nose or something, so I was just coughing like a little crybaby or something, but the heavens didn't open. Okay? And so we got to remind ourselves, not only did I not deserve to be saved before I was a Christian, I still don't deserve to be saved, but God chose me. God, without God choosing to save someone, and what that all means, big debate among Christians, godly brothers and sisters who love each other, big debate on that, but if God didn't choose to save somebody, nobody would be saved. Okay? So, that's a spiritual blessing. When's the last time you counted your spiritual blessings? I count my blessings all the time. But usually out of 25, maybe 23 of them are physical blessings. You know, thank you, Lord, for good health. Thank you for, you know, your godly wife. Thank you for a warm house. Thank you for this. Thank you. And, oh, and thank you for saving me. Oh, and thank you for indwelling me with the Holy Spirit. We got to be thanking God. I mean, it's just, you know, let's say, you know, a bunch of people came in here. And by the way, there's been some churches that have been physically harassed in the recent past here in America. And supposedly somebody came in and just started pounding us and stuff like that. That doesn't stop. That doesn't change the fact. If you're getting pounded by somebody and you're just slipping down to the ground, slipping into unconsciousness, that doesn't stop the fact that you are chosen. You are chosen by God the Father. And He did this in eternity past. Now, we're going to spend more time on this, but I just want to cover these. Spiritual blessings in Christ. In verse 4, it's election. Verse 5, having predestined us, God predetermined, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It was His good pleasure and it was His will to predestine us to be adopted to be His sons. Okay? It wasn't that we deserved to be adopted as His sons. And so that's adoption, spiritual blessing number two. Are you glad to be adopted? You know? I wasn't adopted. You know, I'm the natural son of my parents and all. But what a blessing to be an orphan who then gets adopted into a family. We'll look at that and what the Roman law about adoption meant. So we're chosen, we're adopted, and verse 6, we're accepted to the praise of the glory of His grace. When's the last time you praised God and glorified God for His grace? To the praise and glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved Jesus. You are not accept. God does not accept you in yourself. You're accepted in Jesus. Okay? By the way, there are all sorts of false teachings that have crept into the church that they're trying to change the gospel message into some type of utopian dream, some type of salvation here and now on earth. Whether it's Marxist ideology or New Age ideology, okay? Let me tell you something. God wants us focused on spiritual blessings in heaven. There's an old saying that guy is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Let me tell you something. That's a false statement. If you're focused on God and eternal life, and spend an eternity with the triune God, it will impact your life in such a way that you will make a much greater difference on this planet than you would have if your focus was on earth. Some people, you know, Karl Marx and Lenin and Mao, want a utopian dream to have a perfect planet earth. Utopia means no place. It is appropriately titled. Okay? Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He will come back and make peace upon the earth. But we ought to rejoice. We just love people, but it's a fallen creation. Lead people to Jesus. And we're chosen. We're adopted. We're accepted by God, even though we don't deserve that. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made, verse 8, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And so there we have redemption and we have forgiveness. We are redeemed in Christ. To be redeemed means that you're set free by the paying of a price. So you could pay a price and buy a slave off the slave market in ancient days. But they weren't redeemed. The slave just has a new owner. But if the owner then sets them free, they've been redeemed. We've been set free by the paying of price. What was the price that was paid? It's right there. Right there. His blood. We're redeemed through His blood. Jesus paid the price. Okay? You know, we often say, you know, it doesn't take work to get saved. We're saved without work. Apart from works. That's true if we're talking about ourselves. But keep in mind, it took a lot of work to get you saved. And that's called the work of Christ. You had to live a perfect life, perfectly obey the law, which we could not obey in our own strength. And then He had to suffer and die on the cross for our sins and then rise from the dead to conquer death for us. And so we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sufferings and death of Christ. So it's a free gift, but it's a free gift that had to be purchased for us and then freely given to us. And Jesus paid the price with his life. And so redemption and forgiveness, and forgiveness is the canceling of someone's debt. The canceling of someone's debt. So we'll talk about those as well. Then we're given a new knowledge. You know, verse 8 ended in all wisdom and prudence. And then verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery, mysterion in the Greek, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. And so here we're given new knowledge. Now we'll talk about this a little bit, that God has summed up all things in Christ. You know, all things come from him. We are created by Jesus, and through him we continue to exist. He sustains us in existence and for him. Paul's talking about the for him. That Jesus is not just the origin of our lives and the origin of creation and the sustainer of creation. He is also the goal of creation. Where every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reign over the universe throughout all eternity. And so we're given a new knowledge. There are mysteries, and we're going to see that mysteries in the New Testament. The Gnostic heretics turned and said, oh, look at all these mysteries in the New Testament. These are things that only people in the know could figure out. Hidden secret mysteries. No, a mystery in the New Testament always refers to something that was a mystery in the Old Testament, but it's a mystery explained in the New Testament. Okay? And don't forget, you know, the Christian faith is Jewish. So there's this understanding that, yeah, if you want to be in right relationship and covenant with Yahweh, you got to go to the temple and do the animal sacrifices. You got to get circumcised and become a Jew. And Paul says, whoa, there's some things God hinted at in the Old Testament, but never fully told us. And now they're revealed in the New Testament because Jesus has come. And that's the Jewish and Gentile church, the one family of God. Gentiles can trust in Jesus for salvation without converting to Judaism, without getting circumcised and placing themselves under the Old Testament law. And then verses 11 and 12, as adopted sons, we receive an inheritance. And under Roman law, you can disinherit a son. If your son's a loser, you can say, man, I disinherit the guy. You couldn't do that with an adopted son. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, God predetermined, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And so here we see spiritual blessing number 6, we receive an inheritance. God predetermined that everyone he adopts as his son, everyone that he saves, everyone who has been chosen, he has predetermined to finish the work that he starts in them, and they will receive an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. Okay? We are going to see people in the near future who have been much wiser with their finances than I have, and who have built great savings and have built towards retirement. They have a retirement check. They have the investments. They own property. Okay? And believe me, that is a godly thing to do. You know, you prepare. You trust God. Don't stop trusting God. That's why God made us take one day a week off. So you could just trust Him to take care of you on that one day. And the manna wouldn't go bad. And you ate the manna, but then he said, you know, I'm going to save some of this for Sunday. It rots. And you go back and you work. But, you know, but just keep in mind, the difference between ancient man and contemporary man, the Bible does not teach a 40-hour work week. Okay? God had to tell man, take one day a week off. So you could focus on what? Spiritual things. Like blessings you could receive from God in the heavenly realm. Focus on spiritual things rather than on physical things. Your mortgage payment is important, but it's not the most important thing. And nowadays, we think we're entitled to a 40-hour work week. And some people want less than that. Some people want paychecks without work. And sometimes healthy people want paychecks without work. And but basically, I'm telling you, you could. There are people right now who want a redistribution of wealth, a Marxist redistribution of wealth, who will take the hard-earned savings and retirement plans of many Americans and just and their real estate property and just take them and redistribute it as the government decides. Okay? And that sounds nice. No, it's not nice. Redistribution of wealth. You took all the money from all the billionaires and divided their money, divided all the money among the people of the United States. Everybody would be poor. Just the poor would be making, I think, an extra $500 or $600 a week. I mean, a month. But we'd all be poor. It wouldn't solve problems. It would only cause, and there'd be nobody to hire us. But basically, what I'm getting at is, as secure as your inheritance appears to be here on planet Earth, number one, you can't take it with you. And number two, when the deification of the state occurs, when the state fully tries to take on the role of God, you know, I mean, when we say the Lord taketh and the Lord giveth away, well, blessed be the name of the Lord, because He's God. He's sovereign over life. But I'm telling you, when the government give it and the government can take it away, there's nobody should amen that. Okay? But inheritance you have in heaven, they could outlaw Christianity tomorrow. They could lock us up tomorrow. They could beat us. Okay? They could execute us. But they can't take away that inheritance that's in heaven. For the true believers, the true chosen ones, the true adopted sons of God. And then we're sealed by the Spirit. Spiritual blessing number 7, verses 13 and 14. In Him, in Christ. It's all in Christ, by the way. Outside of Christ, nothing but death. Don't look for spiritual blessings outside of Christ. In Him, in Christ, you also trusted. Now, verse 12, Paul said that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also trusted. That doesn't make any sense at all unless Paul, as a Jewish guy, is saying, we the Jews who first trusted in Christ, and then he says, in Him, in Jesus, you Gentiles also trusted. So in Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What that is talking about, we're going to spend more time on this in the weeks to come. What that is talking about is that once we trusted in Jesus for salvation, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. To seal something is like branding it. like a brand put on cattle to say this belongs to this rancher and not anybody else. So it's a seal of ownership, but it's also a seal of security and of protection. And when you look there, it says that those who are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, if you trusted in Jesus for salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is a guarantee that our inheritance, we're going to receive our inheritance in full until the day that the Lord Jesus returns to planet Earth and redeems the planet Earth. And so spiritual blessings in Christ, we're elected in Christ, adopted as sons of God, sons and daughters of God, accepted, we're redeemed and forgiven, we have a new knowledge, we receive an inheritance that cannot be taken away, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit for protection and for ownership. Something else I want to note. Look at verse 4. It's talking about God the Father. It says, just as He chose us in Him. So just as God the Father chose us in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. What does that tell us about salvation? It tells us that the Father planned it. The Father planned it. Okay? Look at verse 7. In Him, now it's talking about Jesus, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What is that telling us? The Father planned salvation, our salvation, but the Son provided it. He provided the sacrifice. And then verse 13, in Him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit applied it. So what we see is the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity at work in salvation. God the Father planned it. God the Son provided for it when He died on the cross of Calvary. And the Holy Spirit applies it to us when we first believe. So, I mean, this is crazy stuff here. When did God the Father plan your salvation? Before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created. When the Son provided 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross of Calvary. When did the Holy Spirit apply it? That moment you first believed, when the Holy Spirit persuaded you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And by the way, this is the Trinity at work in salvation. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do almost everything together. They do almost everything together. And I'll explain why the word almost. Okay? But just think about creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And then you have the earth was formless and void, and then the Spirit moved over the water. And then you look at John 1:1 that the Word, Jesus, God the Son, created it. So again, with creation, I think we could generalize it by saying the Father planned it, the Son performed it, and the Holy Spirit designed it. Okay? And so the triune God was at work in the creation of the universe, and the triune God is at work in the recreation, making us new creations in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, at the end of this sentence there, to the praise of His glory, when you count your spiritual blessings in Christ, do not look down at your nose at non-believers. Okay? I remember when I first got saved, it was like, man, I can't believe all those heathen out there, all those heathens who don't believe. I just wish Jesus would come back right now and just lambast the whole planet Earth. Every time I witness to somebody, and I've been saved for a day, every time I witness to somebody, they get all mad at me and stuff like that. Lord, just come and judge them now. And it's kind of like the Lord in a gentle voice is just kind of teaching me the truth. You know, hey, would you prayed this prayer the day before you got saved. Okay? So God's patient with us. Don't look down on your nose at others. I'm better than you. I'm the chosen and all. No. When you look at these spiritual blessings in Christ, you're chosen, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're redeemed and forgiven, you have a new knowledge, you have an eternal inheritance, and you're sealed and protected by the Holy Spirit. When you look at those spiritual blessings, that should cause you to do what? It should cause you to praise God. Praise and glorify God. Because how many of these spiritual blessings do you think you deserve? Zero. Okay? You don't deserve any of that. And so now let's take a closer look at these verses. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it makes no sense unless the Father and Son are two distinct persons. There's only one God, but this one God exists throughout all eternity as three distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By calling Jesus Lord, though, it's still the kurios is being used to replace Yahweh of the Hebrew Old Testament. Jesus is as much God as the Father is. But they're two distinct persons. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay? So, now blessed. When he's saying, you know, blessed be God. Okay? When we bless God, you know, blessing God and blessing humans are two different things. Okay? When we bless God and when God blesses us, two totally different things. And pretty much the same variation of the same word in the Greek. But when we bless God, we acknowledge His greatness and give Him all the glory and praise. Why? Because He deserves it. Okay? Now, when God blesses us, blesses believers, that's when God gives us these heavenly spiritual blessings. We have them all right now. So don't just look at the physical world. Live by faith, not by sight. You might be physically poor and physically hungry, but you're spiritually rich. And but when we bless God, we give Him the glory and the praise He deserves. When He blesses us, He gives us these blessings, these benefits, these spiritual benefits that we do not deserve. Okay? And so these are the invisible things of the heavenly realm, the spiritual things. They're heavenly blessings, things pertaining to heaven. So when we accept Christ, we are positionally seated with Christ at the Father's right hand at a place of honor. Okay? Now, when Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail, a cool, damp jail cell, I'm sure they didn't feel very blessed. Okay? And this is why you need to trust, you need to know God's Word. Be diligent to study God's Word, to diligently study God's Word, to accurately handle it. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about that. We need to know God's Word because we need to build our lives on God's truth, not on our circumstances or our feelings. Okay? And believe me, people are going to call us and are calling us right now all kinds of nasty names that some of us have never been called throughout their lives, and it's all because we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to tell the world, you know, if you find the world hates you, know it hated Jesus before it hated you. John 15:18. We got to tell the Lord, hey, you know, I love you. I love all mankind. I don't want to be part of this agenda because this agenda contradicts the Word of God And I live to preach the Lamb who was slain, the crucified and risen Savior, and I will preach Him till the day I die, whether I'm popular or not. And you want to call me names? You know, I'll be totally honest. We got to get the attitude where it doesn't matter what names your friends call you, your enemies call you, your relatives call you, the names that politicians call you, the names that the world calls you. Okay? You got to say, I could care less what names the world calls me, because my God calls me His son.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, and sons and daughters of the King. And but we got to decide which side we're on. Because we're going to be trampled on by this world. And by the way, I'm not saying things are going to get abnormal in America. What I'm saying is, without incredible widespread revival, if God wills it, things will turn around. Who knows? Maybe it will. But as far as I can see, America will enter, Christianity in America will enter a stage of normalcy. Things will get normal. Because the normal state for Christians throughout history and throughout the globe, if you stand up for Jesus, you get burnt at the stake. You get stoned to death. You get beheaded with machetes. Okay? And we think about America being a Christian country. Nigeria is way more Christian than us. One of every two people in Nigeria is a Christian. Problem is, the other half are militant Muslims. And so our Christian brothers in Nigeria, like our Christian brothers and sisters in the church in China, and they're getting persecuted, and they often have to go underground. That's the normal state. America's been the big exception. Founding fathers came here for religious freedom. Those days are running out. Days are going to come. I am not saying they're going to close down the churches in America. They don't want to close down the churches. They just want us to tweak our message. And as long as our message is politically correct enough, we'll always have a place in a culture that hates Jesus. But when you draw the line in the sand and say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's going to be repercussions for that. And so these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now keep in mind, there's a difference between spiritual fruit, spiritual gifts, and spiritual blessings. Okay? Spiritual fruit, those are the characteristics that should characterize you if you're a believer. Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's God changing you from within, so the Holy Spirit's bearing His fruit in your life. And don't look at that list and say, yeah, I want this, I want peace and joy. I don't want love. Let me skip over gentleness. Now, we're supposed to have all nine fruit of the Spirit. Okay? By the way, this is not dealing with personality types. Just because, you know, there's some people who think because I'm a loud guy from New Jersey that I don't have the joy of the Lord and I'm not gentle. Well, it just takes a little longer to get to know me and you find out I do have the joy of the Lord and I am gentle. Okay? I used to think guys from Alabama with the real heavy Alabama accent, it would go right through me. And then I started finding out, you know, and then I go to Liberty University. All my professors are preaching with a heavy Alabama accent. Okay? And I realized just because a guy talks that way doesn't mean he hates me. He's a loving person. But the fruit of the Spirit, we should all have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, most of us don't have all the spiritual gifts, like Paul. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that God gives to believers. But God wants us to be a body of believers, so He gives different gifts to different people. It'd be like, you know, trying to have a physical body, you know, if you had nothing but elbows, you couldn't get anything done. You know, I never appreciate, you know, sometimes I don't appreciate my pinky until I got an itch somewhere that I could only reach with my pinky. Then all of a sudden it becomes the MVP of my body, the most valuable part. Okay? And thumbs. I never really, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving us thumbs. You know? Try doing pull-ups without thumbs. I mean, there's some guys that can. I don't know if anybody in here can, but not me. I can't even do them with thumbs now. But God's given us different supernatural abilities. And by the way, your spiritual maturity is not based upon your spiritual gifts. It's based upon your spiritual fruit. So Paul could say, if you have the gift of prophecy and speak in tongues, but you don't have love, you're just a clanging bell. It's the fruit of the Spirit that shows our maturity. But spiritual blessings, these pertain to the invisible heavenly realm. So your spiritual fruit, I hope and pray people can see that on earth. Your spiritual gifts, if you minister. That's why I don't believe in taking a psychological test. Some churches give them to try to figure out what spiritual gifts you have. No, just do what God's called you to do. And as you minister, you'll be using your gifts. And they'll be identifiable, not just by you, but by the people you serve and by the people who watch you. Okay? So spiritual fruit and spiritual gifts, we should see that stuff here. But the spiritual blessings, you just got to trust God. Okay? What was it? Used to be that old series. I think me and my wife were the only two people who liked it, so they took it off the air. Was it Sledgehammer? Yeah, he was supposed to be this Clint Eastwood type police officer, and the guy was just, he used to talk to his gun and sleep with it next to his gun and stuff like that. And one episode, it was the end of a season, last episode on a season, and they found a nuclear bomb. And so he's trying to, what do you call it when you try to, he's trying to defuse the nuclear bomb. And his boss says, what are you doing? You haven't had any training in this and all. And he said, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And then the program ended. You just saw this big, huge mushroom cloud and stuff like that. Let me tell you, on the spiritual blessings, trust God. He's not Sledgehammer. Trust God. He does know what he's doing. Okay? And if God promises you something, he can bring it to pass. You know, that's the two big problems with Christians nowadays. We either don't trust God when he promises us something, or we trust God to keep promises he never made, because we pull a verse out of context. And but the promises he's made, Paul's telling us, look, man, God gave us, if you're a believer, God gave us seven spiritual blessings in Christ. We got to start thinking about these invisible, spiritual, heavenly blessings. You might feel rejected. You might feel alone. You might feel like Phil Fernandez. If there's 11 guys, they want to play full court basketball in Essex County, New Jersey, and they got 11 guys, guess who's not getting chosen? You might feel like nobody wants you. But if you're a believer, you're chosen. You're of the elect. You're adopted as a child of the King. You're accepted. You don't deserve to be accepted, but you're accepted. And you're redeemed. The price has been paid. You've been set free. You're forgiven. We have a new knowledge. Don't get a big head about that new knowledge. Share it with others. We have an inheritance, eternal inheritance in heaven, and we're sealed and protected by the Holy Spirit. So Dr. Tom Hoyle is going to be here next week, and then we'll start looking at these spiritual blessings. The week after, we'll talk about election and adoption as sons and acceptance. At this point, we're going to receive the Lord's Supper, and we've got everything's in separate packages. So it should be sanitary and healthy and all. But Pastor John's going to lead us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, where we can unite, separated from the world, and united, and recipients of the spiritual blessings in Christ.
Amen. It's good to be back doing this together as a family, even though we got to do it together as families in our own houses. But this is much better. Amen. All right, the guys are going to pass them out. I'm not quite sure what they look like. They're just packets, and you can go ahead and open them. That way you can receive them when it comes time. I don't know. I don't know if this is a current invention or it may have been. I don't know what the free market took advantage of this right now or what. But praise God, we've got them. These been around for a while. Okay, great. Thank you.
Let them know that the wafer is on the top part of that.
Oh, okay. So the wafer is on the top part, and you pull the bottom part off, and I will be the first to let everybody know what this is like. All right. And there we go. I guess you just peel off that part. And it's a little kind of a paper thin wafer. All right. Amen. I'm going to add this to the many different ways we celebrate communion. This is like number 5. Okay. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Amen. Like Pastor Phil said, if we've learned one thing through all of this, it is to count our blessings. I think before all this happened, maybe we took for granted the fact that we could meet together as a family, that we could lean on each other, that you have the blessing to be able to come into a building and give a brother or sister a hug. We've been denied that for a while. You had the blessing just to see each other's faces. It's amazing what a small change will do to make you appreciate the little tiny things you've had. So praise the Lord. But the ultimate blessing we're celebrating here right now, like Pastor Phil said, was all that Christ did to purchase for us our salvation. We have an amazing God. I was reading Hebrews in chapter 1. And the author of Hebrews speaks of Christ being the one that upholds all things. The word there was upholds the universe. But that's the translators doing their best to say he upholds everything. He upholds it in the past. He upholds it in the present. He upholds it in the future. And it's active and moving and existing within his hands. He upholds it all. And this same one died for you. This same Christ who upholds all things hung on that cross. And this same one rose from the dead, never ceasing to uphold all things, never ceasing to hold you, never ceasing to understand where you're from, where you are, where you're going. That is the God we worship. So Chris is going to play a song right now, and we're going to take this moment to come before Him. And if there's things that you need to repent of them. If there's things you need to be thankful, there's always things you need to be thankful. Thank the Lord for this week, the week that's passed, the weeks to come. Or just take this time to worship Him. But we're going to take a moment of silence, and then Chris is going to play a song.
You are my strength and I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Amen. Paul writes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let us take and eat. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let us drink this cup in remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, so much. Just as we learned in the beginning of the sermon, we didn't deserve this. We don't deserve your grace. We didn't deserve the blessings you give us, especially the salvation you have purchased for us. But you are good. And you love us beyond comprehension. You love us way beyond our understanding. And we are thankful. Father, we just thank you. Lord God, we thank you for your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and empower us to live a life that is a living testament to your grace and mercy and love, to a world that so desperately needs to know that. Father, may we go out this week and reflect your goodness, reflect your grace and your mercy to those around us who don't know you. Strengthen us and empower us, Lord, to be your witnesses everywhere we go, in all that we say and that we do. And Father, bring us home, bring us back together during the week in our Bible studies, in our fellowships, and bring us back together again here Sunday as a family of believers. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these things. Be glorified in our lives today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.